So that is done. Please read the next item.
Item 995, create, appoint members, adopt bylaws, and authorize the Bureau of Emergency Management and Development Services to convene an unreinforced masonry building work group.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Madam President. I am delighted to introduce a resolution appointing a new work group focused on the serious risks of unreinforced masonry buildings. I am asking them to develop solutions that support building owners who want to make retrofits. Although a previous council expected this group to recommend mandatory retrofits, I believe we will have greater success working with all parties if no one is negotiating under that kind of pressure. So I want to be clear, we are not anticipating any mandates coming back from the new work group that will be put in place. However, I think what our goal is to create a committee that has a whole menu of options for business owners, for arts organizations, for faith institutions, to actually be able to identify how they get resources to support their upgrades. Again, I want to be clear that the City of Portland is not in a position to be able to afford to retrofit all the private URM buildings in Portland. And so I don't expect anything to come out of the work group that actually has a recommendation that the city will foot the bill, because we just won't and we can't. The committee will meet as a big group to address some of the core issues, but they also will have subcommittees focused on the unique needs of for-profits and nonprofit buildings. Jana Papa Ifthimiyu will make a short presentation on the ordinance. As she's coming up, actually before the vote, I'll have another short statement. Thank you. I'm gonna practice that. I'm gonna stand in my mirror and practice.
Thank you.
Next time you're in front of us, I'm gonna be so much better.
That'll be in a year when the work group's done working.
Yes, hopefully. Yes, that's the plan.
Thank you very much. Again, just for the record, I'm Jana Papa-Ifthimiyu with the Bureau of Emergency Management. And this is the fun part of the presentation where we get to talk about the work that we're going to do going forward. So why are we doing this? Oh, after all this 11 years, we still don't have the answers, but we are pretty clear on what the problems are, and we know that we're in it together. And as Betsy Ames would remind us, persistence pays. So we still have a 22 to 26% likelihood of a big earthquake here in the next 50 years. URM buildings are very dangerous in earthquakes. FEMA says they're the most dangerous buildings, and we believe there are at least 1,600 of them here in the city, and that includes buildings the city owns, schools, the Keller Auditorium, and many private buildings. What have we learned? Well, in the years we've been working on this, we've learned a lot. We did a look back in our own permitting system, and we see that life safety retrofits are happening slowly and that more than 80% of URMs haven't been retrofitted yet. We also, looking at case studies and at published information, know that the retrofits are expensive, and moreover, the costs are hard to predict in old buildings because they're old and they have many other issues that can be uncovered in that process. We know, as the Commissioner Hardesty said, the city cannot afford to do all this work, but also that the cost and the unpredictability is very alarming to property owners. We recognize that mandatory retrofits could lead to displacement, and I think that something that came loud and clear out of the last process is that those displacement risks are highest in historically underserved neighborhoods and in gentrifying neighborhoods, where we really want to be shoring up those long-term institutions that are still present and that may be in URM buildings. So what are we going to do with what we've learned? As the commissioner also said, we're going to remove the expectation that retrofits will be mandatory, and instead we're going to be open to all solutions and move forward with a new committee that has diverse interests. We're going to rely on a third-party facilitator that has strong experience in both public policy and equity, and a facilitator that, although our bureau will certainly be paying them, really works for the process and works for the committee and not for any staff person. We are going to build on the work that we've already done. I think a lot of their factual basis was good, and we want to rely on that and not reinvent it. But we will have an opportunity to do things like look back at the URM inventory. I am confident that the committee will want to examine that and form their own opinions about its quality or any changes that are needed. They're also obviously going to look back on the cost assumptions that we've made so far and see where more data might be needed. So we're going to build on that work for the next year, and then I'll be back with my committee. I just want to be clear on the committee purpose. This is also from their bylaws, which is Exhibit C in the council packet, that they make recommendations to reduce life safety risks and reduce displacement, that their recommendations can include both finance and policy levers, that they need to recognize for-profit and not-for-profits are different. Churches and arts organizations have a different financial picture than for-profit buildings, and that their support programs would be voluntary, but they can still have standards to receive the benefits of participation. As the commissioner emphasized, and I would also like to emphasize, it is not required or expected that the work group will recommend mandatory retrofits, but it is expected that the voluntary retrofits will be scaled to need. These are the names of folks for the new committee. We had an open application process that followed a Civic Life's recommended best practices. We ran the selection process like job interviews, so we had a committee of staff and community members, not including myself or anyone that has been directly connected to the project up to now. They made the initial selections, and then we did some targeted recruitment because churches and people in banking were underrepresented, and we knew those interests were important. We came up with the list of names here. I regret we also came up with two additional members that have withdrawn in the last few weeks, one because she was a tenant and she was forced to move out of the city and therefore won't be able to serve on the committee. She doesn't work here either. And we also had a member who has health concerns and won't participate. We were really honored to have more than 70 people apply to be on the committee, so I'm confident we can go back to those applications and find two more members to speak to those interests, and the bylaws permit the commissioner to appoint additional members for vacancies. And that is, in summary, everything that we're moving forward with today. We're appointing the work group and we're adopting their bylaws. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Can I clarify a couple things, Shauna?
Please.
The work group meetings will be open to the public?
Absolutely.
And where will people be able to find information about dates and times?
Oh, thank you. We haven't set the first date yet. I expect it will be in November, and I imagine that the first meeting will be at the Bureau of Development Services. We'll post it on our website as soon as it's available, and I also, in partnership with Angie, I'm sure, will publicize it to all our social media links and email lists.
And minutes of the meetings will be taken?
Minutes will be taken by our third-party facilitation firm and posted online.
Good. And finally, this is a large committee. One of our roles is to make sure that there's been no protest filed by anybody about the composition, who's in, who's out, or anything like that. So has anybody that applied for the position and didn't get it, or any other person with an interest in this, raised a concern about the composition of this committee?
I am definitely aware that several applicants were disappointed. And as I said, my understanding was an expression of personal disappointment because of their concern for the issue and not because they felt that there was any unfairness.
And with respect to the composition of the committee, the diversity of viewpoints at the table, the sort of what you've cobbled together, have we received any complaints about that?
Let me think. I don't believe that we have. Certainly, I think building owners would, some building owners would perhaps argue that building owners ought to form the majority of the committee. And I think that certainly their knowledge as owners will inform all the work that we do. But we felt like architects, engineers, people in finance would have a lot to contribute to the problem solving. Again, with mandatory retrofits off the table, the hope is that we all have the same goal, which is to make them possible.
I'm sorry, one other question. I anticipate on some of these issues that there could be strong feelings on both sides. Will we have the benefit of majority and minority reports on these issues?
We will, and thank you for asking that. That's actually in the bylaws. We intend to do like sort of a red, green, yellow voting system, and so whenever there's someone that a recommendation can't move forward if a member is voting red, and we'll have minority reports. So the final can include many views if we don't reach consensus.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Day.
Thank you, Madam President. Is there any plan to replace the two people who are unable to serve with two alternates?
Yes, there were numerous other applicants representing both tenants and small businesses, so I think we'll go back to the list of originally interested parties and see who is still able to participate.
I'm glad to hear that, because I do think those are two important voices in this conversation. And I think the biggest concern that I heard from building owners about the original group that was convened was there wasn't enough representation of kind of smaller time property owners.
Yes.
Have we solved that?
I hope so. I'm looking to the list. Let's see. We have three folks. Actually, we have three folks who own URM buildings, and I think all three, two of them live in them, and one runs a small business out of them. We have a third person who owns several pieces of real estate, but including several URMs. And then we have someone who owns a condominium in a URM building, too.
So that sounds like five.
That's five.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, Jana. I just wanted to put on the record, as Jana mentioned, we had over 70 Portlanders apply to be on this work group. So what we know is that the work group is the work group, but we will be seeking advice from other experts who have had lived experience around this issue. No voice is going to be eliminated, but we thought it was important to prioritize those who would not have access to like tax breaks or tax incentives to do the upgrades. And so thinking about how faith institutions, how nonprofits, and how others that fall into those categories would be able to best respond to this need. I also want to be clear that when the work group is completed with their work, the work group will make a presentation to this body, right? So it is not my job to filter what work the work group has come up with, but to lay it all out here at the council chambers in public so that the public really understands what we did, why we did what we did, and what the expectations are as we move forward. I also want to appreciate Director Mike Myers, who has said that he will facilitate quarterly community meetings just to make sure that people have opportunities for updates throughout the process, right? So sometimes when we have work groups that we have put together, the public doesn't actually get to weigh in on what the decisions are that those work groups are making until the very end. We're going to be taking public comment throughout the process. And so I hope everyone will come to this process with a sense of, you know, this is a new day. We've got a new opportunity. And let's get it right this time, because the lives of Portlanders depend on us getting it right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. How many people signed up, please?
We have four.
Okay. Call the first three, please.
First three are Jim Atwood, Vic Savara, and Angie Even.
Here we are again.
Thank you, Jim Atwood, ATWOOD. I thank you again for repealing the ordinances, and I very much respect the positive outlook for the future. We as building owners have been concerned about this second go-around. In particular, there early on was the expectation was mandatory retrofits. And you know, just your Parks buildings, I have an email from your Parks people to 11 city employees. It says, though some portfolio has been partially retrofitted, a low confidence estimate program is $50 to $250 million for Parks buildings for seismic retrofits. Again, the higher number reflecting that the retrofit project will encounter many other issues at these buildings, code and necessary repair issues. Basically, the city owns, according to this, Parks has 330,000 square feet of unreinforced masonry buildings, and their estimates are on the order of $500 a square foot, plus a 30% contingency. My estimates from 2014 that were promulgated through Portland Development Commission for my small building was on the order of $350 a square foot in 2014. So $500 a square foot today is not an unrealistic number. During the testimony for the previous ordinances, the experts were quoting figures from $9 a square foot to $90 a square foot. That's clearly wrong. At $500 a square foot, if you mandate a retrofit, you're basically taking the property down because this is twice the replacement cost of most buildings. So it is would be a regulatory taking, and I know you don't want the city to pay for all the retrofits, but if a mandatory retrofit would, I think, involve a regulatory taking, and of course, as owners, you know, you're dealing with our lives, and so we would be remiss if we didn't try to protect our livelihoods. Most of the $500,000 we spent on legal fees, you're reimbursing us, and we are holding that war chest waiting the outcome of this process. And I hope that it proceeds as you described it here today. I would be very pleasantly surprised and happy about that.
Man, you're a hot crowd, aren't you? Madam President, if I may, I hear you. Had I been spending 4 years saying the same thing over and over and over again and feeling like no one was listening to me, I would probably feel just like you do. What I would ask you to do is to hold judgment. See if we do what we say we're going to do. And let me assure you that at any point that you think that we're off the rail and we're not doing what we've said we were going to do in this process, my office is open to you.
I'll take you up on that, Commissioner.
All right, appreciate that.
And I'm sorry to say we're not going to get rid of our $700 an hour lawyer.
Well, you know,
you might negotiate a different fee schedule.
I'll bring that up for them.
That
thank you. I have nothing further.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you. One of you, yes.
Howdy. My name is Vic Savara, and I'm an owner of a URM, and I've been involved with this process since day one. I just want to let you know how thankful I am for the opportunity which we have right now to be a part of a program which is totally has us as a part of the solution. I'm looking forward to being a part of that committee. I have two comments to make. Okay, one is a very general comment. Okay, when I was being interviewed, I made the statement that, you know, I wish that this committee was not so narrowly focused, that it would have been great for the city of Portland to have a committee to look at earthquake preparedness, of which buildings is one, and URMs are a part of that building. Okay, I just hoped that the thing could be in that direction, but I was informed that the resolution which was being, on which this committee was being formed was very narrow. But I just want to share with you, I think there is an opportunity here for the city, okay, to lead, okay, that's all. The other question which I have, the other is more of a recommendation to the commissioners. I want to thank Jana, okay, because she listened.
Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. Okay, and there's one aspect which I think there's an opportunity for improvement. There are 15 members in the committee for, let's call it for-profit URMs, of which there are only three URM owners. I have been involved in many committees, And if I am representing 1,600 building owners and only three in this committee, okay, it's going to be difficult, okay, to convey and to influence the thought process of 1,600 people. I just wanted to bring that up as an opportunity. I was also a little bit shocked to look at the list of people in the for-profit section, included two investor developers. And I'm saying to myself, the whole purpose of this committee is not to have a situation where there's all of the people in the group have one focused decision point, okay? But here we have two people. The people are, I'm not talking about the person itself, but just the thing. Two people whose role is break the buildings down so that we can develop new properties. I don't believe that that is appropriate. And I would like the commissioners to examine the possibility of converting those two investor developers positions in the committee to URM owners. That's all. Thank you so very much, okay? It's such a pleasure coming to a commissioner meeting where there's no one shouting and everything else. I've gone through so many.
You're telling
Thank
us.
You so very much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Angie Even, and again, I came today to lend some voice to the mom and pop building owners. Again, I want to thank you again, and Commissioner Hardesty, I really want to thank you for this new direction. I think it's the right direction. I have conducted over the last couple of years, or our group, the pub, they call us the pub group because we used to meet in a bar, is that one of the things that I think that you would be enlightened by is to know that when we meet, we don't just complain. We actually talk about solutions. And I wanted to do just one short thing, and that is a shout out to an owner that we lost this summer. And he spent the last 4 years of his life before he was diagnosed with a brain tumor, which he only lived 20-some days, retrofitting his building. And Jim was somebody that everybody looked to in our meetings for solutions for roof retrofits because he knew everything. And I think what I want to leave you with is that when you say that, when you said that you didn't know what a URM was, either did we. Mm-hmm. And this dropped in our laps. And most of us are at the sunset of our lives. We're not young. And we didn't plan for this. And we're not developers. 7% of the buildings are four stories or more. The rest are little buildings on the main streets. My husband and I bought our building because we had a flower shop for 22 years. What I've seen and what really charged me and made me become what some people call me an advocate or activist, which I've never considered myself, is that people have had fear. And when people have a sense of fight or flight, there's never good decisions made. And so I really appreciate, and I know the building owners do too, to see some of that pressure relieved from us. We're cautiously optimistic, but we're going to go into it with that optimism. And Vic is one of the people on the committee, and I agree with Vic. It would be nice to see a higher percentage of building owners. It's actually 16%, and that seems very, very slight compared to what's at stake for these owners. And they've got good solutions if you meet with them. And some of it is innovation and thinking outside the box of things that aren't so expensive but still mitigate risk. Thank you.
Would you like to give us Jim's full name?
Jim Wilson.
Thank you, and thank you for all his work. Yeah.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
And we have one more person?
Yes, the last person is Steve Fleischman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. Who's the lawyer in the pink? Welcome.
Hello, and good afternoon. My name is Steve Fleischman, last name spelled F-L-E-I-S-C-H-M-A-N. I really appreciate the opportunity to just share some thoughts with you on this issue. I am coming to this a little late, but I am, for the last year, I've been an owner-occupant of a historic building that is on the URM list, and wanted to provide my perspective as we move forward. I'm really pleased by the actions that have been taken today and the actions that are being contemplated to be taken moving forward. So I wanted to thank you for that. I wanted to just share with you that I spend a lot of time at our HOA meetings, which are monthly, and I can assure you that everybody in our building, which is a small one, loves our building and loves living there and is worried about losing it. As we just heard, fear is not a good way to live or a very good basis for making good decisions that are in the interest of everybody. We love our building. We don't want to lose it. We don't want to lose it for ourselves personally because it would be highly disruptive. But we also believe that living in a historic building, we have a kind of a trust where we are carrying on part of the cultural fabric of this community. And we want to preserve that. And I appreciate, Commissioner Fish, that you spoke about resiliency. And I wanted to expand resiliency to go beyond structural resiliency, to talk about community resiliency. I know a lot of people that are concerned about the URM issue are tying the buildings to cultural, structural, social resiliency, to things that go beyond the brick and mortar, the weak brick and mortar that we face right now. So I wanted to just bring that up and appreciate what you have done today. Thank Commissioner Hardesty and the City Council for taking up this issue again, and it seems to me that moving forward very constructively. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Commissioner Fish, you said this morning that you have a hard out. Would you like us to suspend the rules and have you vote first?
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Could you do that, please, Carla, call vote?
Fish?
I think it is a pretty terrific list. There's some real heavy hitters on this list. The way you've structured it, the bylaws, the commitment to transparency, the timeline, I think you, Commissioner, you've set yourself up in your bureau for success. You've given yourself the best chance. That doesn't mean that when recommendations come forward that we'll have unanimity in our community. And in a democracy, that's a healthy thing. We can have disagreements. They should be civil, always. But what I'm encouraged by is I think we're starting this reset with a shared commitment to the underlying values that you articulated so well at the beginning, which is the safety of our community and our people. We have this enormous challenge about making our community more resilient, but we don't know how to pay for it. And we are painfully aware that some of the policy proposals of the past had unintended consequences. So now we're going back and we're looking at other ways of getting there. But I'm heartened that we all start from a place of shared values. Now the question is, can a thoughtful group of people sitting around a table come up with some recommendations which move us forward? I'm encouraged by what I've heard and seen today, so I'm pleased to vote aye. Thank you.
Thank you. Udaly?
Aye.
Hardesty?
I want to again thank John, 11 years. I mean, I had no idea you'd been doing URMs for 11 years, and that sounds a little daunting to me. But what I appreciate is the spirit of cooperation that I have seen since I've been here. And I would be remiss if I didn't take the opportunity to also thank my colleagues, because as you know, in this body, you need three people to do anything, and you need four when you're passing something that's an emergency. And the fact that all my colleagues are standing with me today really highlights the importance of the work that we have ahead of us. I want to be also mindful that, as I think most people know, URMs are not the only danger that we face in an earthquake. So I am proud of the work that Mike Myers is doing as the director of the Bureau of Emergency Management to ensure that we are developing a resiliency plan so that we know, because what we already know is that poor communities, communities of a color, will be hit hardest and will be the slowest to be able to come back from whatever the big it is. And so know that we take on this task, understanding that the clock is ticking, understanding that we have an obligation to be as thoughtful and as inclusive as possible, and also that we have an obligation to make sure that we are modeling really good public engagement processes. So at the end of the day, when we come back a year from now with our report, it is my hope that this council chamber is filled and is filled with primarily people who say, you know, I don't like this piece, but I like that. But overall, we have agreement that we're moving in the right direction. Thank you all. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your participation. I vote aye.
Fritz.
The word skeptical has been used quite a lot today, and I will have to say that I am somewhat skeptical that this committee is going to come back with is it going to actually get movement on this challenge? Because it cannot come back and say, city, you're going to pay for it all, or will it have the state pay for it all? Because that's just not going to happen. As was mentioned, we have significant unreinforced masonry buildings within the city's inventory that we need to figure out how to pay for, and we haven't yet. So I hope that this committee will, this is another time where I hope I'm wrong, that this committee will come up with some actual methods of getting improvements built so that not if, but when the big earthquake happens, or even a fairly small one, damage is not done to people. And thank you very much to all the committee members and to Commissioner Hardesty for being willing to lead this work. Aye. With that, we are adjourned.